Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, back at home today, Republican House Speaker John Boehner announced at a news conference that he intends to file a lawsuit on behalf of the Republican-controlled House, accusing President Obama of failing to carry out laws passed by Congress. Republicans have long accused President Obama of selectively enforcing laws like his health care law. We'll continue to watch for the ramifications of Boehner's threatened suit. Meanwhile, we have a better picture of who might be heading to Congress after last night's primaries, a victorious night for incumbents. In Mississippi, veteran Senator Thad Cochran beat out his Tea Party rival Chris McDaniel in a runoff, a bitter, expensive race. Will it also cost the Republican Party? And in New York, House Democrat Charlie Rangel will go on to seek his 23rd term after defeating his challenger, Adriano Espiot. Charlie Mattesian is NPR's politics editor. He's here for a wrap-up. Charlie, hi.
Hi, Robin.
And we've all been following the Mississippi runoff after neither candidate there managed to get at least 50% of the vote in the first race. People calling Thad Cochran's race, though, one for the textbooks. Remind us why.
Well, there were lots of folks, as you know, Robin, lots of folks in Mississippi and in Washington who were convinced that Senator Cochran was a goner, in part because McDaniel led in the primary, in part because of post-primary polling that showed Cochran trailing, and also because Cochran's challenger just seemed to have all the momentum after the June 3rd primary. But what happened was it turned out Senator Cochran had an ace up his sleeve. His campaign recognized that they probably couldn't squeeze out any more Republican votes, so they pursued a much more politically risky strategy of trying to win crossover votes, and there, mainly African-American Democrats. And the senator was able to make a pretty effective case based on his own decades-long record of delivering federal dollars to Mississippi, and also because of the perception that, at least as far as Republicans go, his challenger, Chris McDaniel, would have been a much worse alternative.
In part because of a connection or an alleged connection with the Ku Klux Klan?
Well, it went much deeper than that. I mean, there were lots of statements that McDaniel had made, lots of insensitive statements on the radio. But also, Cochran had his own pretty promising record to offer. For example, he could point to lots of federal dollars that he delivered to historically black colleges in Mississippi and things like that, federal largesse that proved pretty persuasive in the end.
Yeah. Well, but Chris McDaniel is not going quietly. In his speech last night, he referred to Democrats voting for Cochran, just what you're talking about, and said that there were irregularities across the state.
It's our job to make sure that the sanctity of the vote is upheld. Before this race ends, we have to be absolutely certain that the Republican primary was won by Republican voters.
Well, and what's he saying there, Charlie? We know that the Tea Party had poll watchers out, but what is he saying? Is he going to challenge?
Well, he wouldn't concede last night, which I think was very telling. I mean, I think on the McDaniel team, there's lots of belief that this was something of an illegitimate win because of the way Cochran cobbled together a coalition to win. He did it largely with crossover voters, with independents, with Republicans who didn't show up on June 3rd, and with Democrats. And in Mississippi, often that means African-American Democrats. And so lots of the Tea Party forces there in Mississippi believe that that was unfair or illegitimate in some way because Republican voters should have decided the Republican nomination. That's the way they believe.
Yeah. Well, whether or not, you know, wherever that goes, it already has a stain. John McCain today says lawmakers seeking re-election shouldn't underestimate the anti-Washington feeling in the country, that despite this loss in Mississippi, Tea Party groups remain a strong presence. The anti-incumbency feeling in the country is viable. Does this do damage even though the Tea Party candidate lost for Republicans?
Well, I think the truth is that there's no simple or crystal clear answer to the question of is the Tea Party up or is it down? One thing we know is certain. The Tea Party definitely isn't dead. You know, we saw that in Virginia where Eric Cantor's defeat was a stunning upset. And the Tea Party continues to have a great deal of success in pushing the party to the right, especially on spending issues. And it continues to make its mark both in elections and on Capitol Hill. But I think what we're also beginning to understand is the outer limits of what the Tea Party can hope to accomplish. For example, example, incumbents no longer get caught sleeping in primaries. They see it coming. The Republican establishment and its supporters in the business community are beginning to fight back in ways that we hadn't seen in the 2012 election cycle. And we're also being reminded that the business of taking down incumbents still requires a degree of capturing lightning in a bottle. And that's something Tea Party activists are learning the hard way, as they did in Mississippi.
Let's move on to the Charlie Rangel race. He's the African-American who represents Harlem in New York. And we have some sound from the archives. It's just fun. Charlie Rangel walking around Harlem with reporters after his very first primary victory. This is way back in 1970.
Mr. Rangel, eating a hot dog, walking the streets, you look like a man who's still campaigning.
No, I was explaining earlier. I went to school across the street, and I used to get my lunch at this place. That time was sausage and a root beer. It was a nickel. And this guy never gave me a break on anything. So when he said it was a freebie, I just took advantage of it.
So there's Charlie Rangel back in 1970. This is now. He wins again, but Harlem isn't a solid African-American. Adriano Espiot gave Charlie Rangel a real run. And yet Charlie Rangel at 84 pulled this win off. How?
Well, the lesson out of New York is that you can never, ever, ever count out a wily politician like Charlie Rangel. And what we saw there was an example of not just the power of incumbency, but also the power of individual personality. Because if there's a checklist of reasons why incumbents lose primaries, so many of those boxes were checked in Rangel's case. Ethics problems? Check. Changing demographics in his district? Check. Advanced age of an incumbent? Check. But still, for an 84-year-old, Rangel really proved that he's still got game. Yeah. You know, unlike many other octogenarian incumbents that you see on the campaign trail, he showed lots of energy, and he fought back really hard, particularly against his toughest challenger, which was State Senator Espiot. And in the end, over the course of more than 40 years in Congress, it turns out Rangel has built up a whole lot of goodwill among his constituents, and that really showed last night.
And somehow looks younger than he did 10 years ago. Charlie Mattesian, NPR's political editor, thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.
You're listening to Here and Now.